world and how it affects us today.
So join us Thursdays at midnight, BAI listeners, only on 99.5 FM WBAI New York.
New York may be the 22nd of September right now, but because Bastion is in LA, he's technically 3 hours behind us, so it's still the 21st of September. So it's still appropriate to play September by EWF, the elements of earth, wind, and fire on respectively their day now. This is Earth, Wind, and Fire Day, September 21st. Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of Black Seinfeld, the show about nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
We're back. Sorry we took a little delay. We took a little week off, we took a little break, a vacay. It's the one and only Trinidaddy, Panamanian Poppy, Rude Boy, Top Gunner, Suck Panyamada, Giovanni Anglin. Hello everyone.
Yo, what's going on? It's Bastion. This is recording live from LA Geos in Brooklyn, New York. And yeah, we took a break, but we're back.
That's right.
Just a small break. We only took a week off to kind of recoup, to kind of put our mind at ease. We are now entering the fourth quarter of the year.
Yes.
There's a lot of things going on. We just got a small reset. That's how businesses do it sometimes. Just a small reset.
I will say Bastion was the one who asked me if I'd like to take a little break, and I initially said no, and then that Wednesday came around and I was like, yeah, I want to go home. I don't want to do this week. So
yeah, I know Gio very well, so I made sure to make some exceptions and some predictions. You just never know when sometimes life really hits you, you know, when the lemon actually hits you in the head and you have that concussion or a long-term headache. You just need to relax for a night.
That is true, and it was very peaceful. It was very restful. I haven't gone to sleep early on a Wednesday in a long time, so it was a nice change of pace. But within our absence, I will say, one, I didn't realize how many people were upset or felt some type of way that we took a break. My bad, people on Instagram. I didn't know this, but I'm sorry. I didn't know the show resonates and connects with
you. Did you forget that we had fans sometimes?
Yeah, because I feel like it's just you and I talking to dead air. I mean, essentially, that's what we're doing. But there's actual people that listen to the show, and there's actual listeners. So when they message saying that, damn, I actually felt some type of way that y'all are taking a week off, I was like, oh, shoot, people listen to this show. My bad.
And that's kind of a good thing, because we can become one of those shows that take like 3 weeks off at a time, do a batch of 15, then do another three right after. I've noticed a lot of podcasts do that. I noticed most radio, like some radio hosts do that, where they'll just play older episodes for like a whole 2 weeks or something.
Yeah, so, we can't do that, though. The show isn't really evergreen like that.
Yeah, we don't really communicate, or I think we what we do right now is equivalent to what talk hosts do, is some of our episodes could only be listened to in a certain time frame, or if you want to go back in time just a little bit, remember when, I guess January 6th will be a fun episode to listen to.
Yeah.
Or, because it's our initial thoughts, it just happened, and it's something we're going to remember for the next couple of years.
Yeah, or when Tekashi 6ix9ine just got out of prison. That was
that's
a doozy.
That's New York culture right there.
That was a doozy.
It was strange, and I still think we are in the strangeness of that, but time has moved on. We move on. We move on to the next subject. Just like I said, we're like a late night talk show.
Yeah, that is right. We are sort of like a late night talk show host. We're like Fallon. We're like Kimmel. We're like Seth Meyers. We're like, what's the fat British dude who thinks he's funny?
I don't know.
The one who does the karaoke in the car. You know. Corbin? Yeah, there you go. Jeff Corbin or something. James Corbin or Jeff Corbin. One of the J's.
Yeah.
But his last Conan name is O'Brien. Definitely Corbin. Conan O'Brien, one of the OGs. Love Conan O'Brien. He's no longer doing late night anymore. But, man, love. He's one of the few white people that I actually find hilarious. And that's very hard. But he's incredible. Love Conan O'Brien. He's just, his mind is just, I don't know. It's just so magnificent. It's so brilliant. This is how you know the man went to Harvard.
I do think it has to do a shift with this creativity. Because in today's age, sometimes consistency is key. Because you don't want to lose your crowd. Even the crowd loves consistency. Even if they ask for new things, I think it's a lie. And I'll always reference Blueprint 3 as something as, oh, this is what people want. This is something new. It's something interesting. And then a lot of people are like, oh, this is weird. Then what was his next album after Blueprint 3?
After Blueprint 3 was Magna Carta.
Then he did Magna Carta and said he ain't changed much. You know, it's like the regular Jay-Z.
No.
He didn't experiment. Like, he gave you a whole experiment last album. You didn't like it. Magna Carta isn't good. We could say that. There are some great songs on there, like Nickels and Dimes.
Yeah.
But at the same time, people say, oh, you know, he didn't change. He didn't do much.
No, Magna Carta was full frontal capitalist Jay, where he was so above everyone's pay scale that no one really understood what the hell he was talking about. No one at that time in 2013 gave a damn about Basquiat paintings and all that yet. Not yet. We didn't fully appreciate it yet.
I think everybody always appreciates Basquiat paintings, but everything else, yeah. It's, you know, it's just when you're too far gone, there's some art that it's designed to relate to, I guess, the regular people.
Yeah.
Working class, middle class, but even poor.
Right. But people were popping Molly.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't care about Tom Ford. We were popping the Molly, okay? Not us, but, you know, the white people were popping the Molly, okay?
So it is a culture shift. But speaking of culture shift, Gio, last week you went to a different part of society within the United States. You flew there, came back. You said a lot has happened. Your perspective on certain things has changed. Let the people know what happened last week, man. Where did he go Sunday?
Last week, Sunday, was the first time since 2011 where I actually took a flight to somewhere, whether it was international or even domestic. I haven't been on a plane in that long, in almost 10 years. And so before I even get into where I went, I'd just like to say the flight culture has changed drastically since the last time I've been on a plane. And that was when I was about 16 years old. For one, I didn't expect there to be self-check-in stations. Like, that was a whole new concept to me, because when I got to the airport and I was looking for the check-in booths, you know, it's always like I expect the people to be working there. Everyone's waiting on this big-ass line to check in. But then I saw the self-check-in. I was like, oh, shoot. Okay. It's been a while. Thankfully, because I'm technologically savvy, I was able to maneuver myself with no problem. And then when getting on the plane, I was expecting individual televisions by your seats, but that didn't happen anymore either, because smartphones became a thing and they had free Wi-Fi in the plane. But once you access the free Wi-Fi, they have this app where you can access all of their televisions and movies. And it's not like some old ass stuff. It's up to date.
To jump in real quick.
Please.
So I travel a lot, especially from LA to New York. Mm-hmm. That's been a consistent thing. I'm a pilot in the airline industry as well. So what you're talking about is something interesting, because most airlines is the individual. So we could talk about like JetBlue, American Airlines, depending on which plane you have, does come with its own individual screen.
Okay. 737 didn't.
So the ones you had like the digital one, right? It's probably like an older plane that they didn't want to update. So they did like the Wi-Fi thing.
They just had the Wi-Fi thing. And so there was this little unit by your seat where you can drop down and you can place either your tablet or your phone or your smartphone. And
you know what other places do that?
Where?
Buses.
When you really?
Take those like 4-hour trips.
Seriously? Yeah. Like Megabus does that now?
I don't know about Megabus, but I took like this random Chinese. I forgot what it was. I don't think it was Peter Pan. I think it was Greyhound or something. I forgot which one it was, but that one had like a digital. I just connect, like login, Wi-Fi, same thing as you said.
Yeah.
And you're connected to a server and you're able to access films. So that's kind of what you're talking about.
It's films, it's TV. Interesting. Yeah. You know? But it's not like any just like any low budget crap. No, it's all of the new stuff. So you can watch all the HBO Max stuff, all of the movies that are out in theater right now. You can watch all of it. And so I just thought that was an interesting ride, and it just goes to show how long it's been since I've actually been on a plane ride. But the reason why I was gone, people, and the reason why there was no show last week is because I had to go to Dallas, Texas for a business trip. And I must tell you one thing. The moment I stepped out of that airplane hitting and I just touched down on Dallas, people really wear cowboy hats and cowboy boots, people. I was shocked. I thought this was just a myth. I thought this was just stereotypes that you see on television. But no, they really wear cowboy hats and cowboy boots. Now, granted, this is Dallas, Texas, home of the Dallas Cowboys. But I was shocked to see everyone just rocking cowboy hats and cowboy boots. And country music was the first thing I heard as well. They love country music down there, okay? I understand now why country music is so goddamn popular, okay? It may not be popular up here in the Northeast, but no, down south in Texas, they really love some damn country music. I was shocked. It was a huge culture shock. And one thing I remember was getting my lift to get myself to the hotel. And I don't know if y'all know this, but when you access your Uber or your Lyft app, you know how sometimes it just says, "Hi, Giovanni," or "Hi, Bastion." Over in Texas, they say, "Howdy, Giovanni," or "Howdy, Bastion." So that was a nice little touch, too, you know, due to the area that I was in.
Software integration.
The software integration was crazy, man. But the biggest culture shock of them all, Bastion, is the fact that I know a lot of us don't really contemplate the fact that we're living on an island. But yes, we're living on an island. And so going from an island over to Texas, there's just so much goddamn space.
Like, it was New York.
Yes, New York.
Okay.
New York City, because, you know, it's an island, you know what I mean? And then the Brooklyn, Queens, Long Island, that's an island as well. Bronx people, you know, y'all are actually inland, you know, you're all the way at the bottom of New York State. That's y'all. But us, we actually live on an island, so going down to Texas, it's just a lot of space. Which is the biggest culture shock to me, because I'm used to just being around a lot of people and being confided by a lot of people. But then going to Texas, where everything was just so spread out and everyone is driving a car and you're the only idiot walking near the highway and stuff, trying to maneuver your way around there, it's a bit different. It was one of those instances where I finally thought to myself, you know what? I understand why I need a car now. I get it. I get it. It's important why I need a license. I totally get it now. So those were my first impressions on going on, or actually just arriving to Dallas, Texas, home of Erykah Badu, by the way.
So what you said is very interesting. Your understanding of needing a car, because as my friend, a couple of people have told me, it's like, New York is really one of a kind. You'll never get that constantly people walking in the street.
Yeah.
Consistent transportation, allegedly. And just like an environment where you don't need to learn how to drive.
And you're fine.
Everywhere else in the United States, you do need a car.
Yes. Yes.
And this is the post-highway society, where many of the urban planning was designed to expand and add multiple highways. And just to clarify, like, when you took that first lift, did you look at the highways? Did you see something different about the highways?
Oh, one thing I noticed about the highways was the fact that they drive really fast down there. I'm talking 80 miles an hour on the highway.
And how many lanes were there? Do you remember?
There's like... It was wide, actually. It was like five lanes.
Yeah,
it's crazy. And the other thing about it too, now that I'm mentioning it, because I walked a lot, their stop signs, their traffic signs suck. Like, it's awful. It is awful. There would be the stop sign, right? And the light is red, but the stop sign is still, like, the hand is still out. And so I'm waiting for it to switch to the walk sign, but it just never switches over to the walk sign. So I had to, like, put it up to chance and, like, just run that freaking light all the way down the end of the street. It was wild. It was like playing Frogger. It was like playing Frogger, man. Ew,
did you not see the button?
There was no button.
Are you sure?
I am positive. That's the one thing I was looking for, was a button, Bastion. But again, I'm the only asshole walking amongst everyone just driving the damn car. And when you do see people, I understand why people stop and say hello. That's another thing. I get it. Okay,
it's
over
a
here.
Safe space once you see another person there.
Yes, or it can go left too. It's
it
one
can
of
go
the
left.
It's one
safe
or the other
space, because that's something I was telling you about LA. It's strange. Because you do need a car out here, even though it was a society built around trains as well.
Mm-hmm.
Trams, or whatever you call those train carts, whatever. And when you're walking, you could walk a mile or 2 miles and there'll be nobody on the sidewalk.
Yes.
And that sense of security is very scary.
That is what it was like.
Lack of security.
That's exactly what it was like, Bastion, for me. Because I'm the only person walking around. So when you see someone, it's either someone holding up a Jesus is coming sign, or it's just another random dude walking.
Honk for Jesus.
Yes. That's exactly what happened. Or it's just some other random dude walking. And so I understand why there's that little interaction of people saying hello. So that was another interesting culture shock.
What else did you find interesting?
Another thing I found interesting was people were very friendly. I thought people wanted stuff for me. I thought people were trying to hustle me or something, but it took a little bit of getting used to just people just genuinely asking me how my day was. How are you doing? You're not from here. What are you doing down here? Like, there was this genuine interest on getting to know me, which was weird because they're strangers. And I'm used to, if you're talking to me, it's either you want something from me. And so the headphones are always in, or I'm just like, oh, thanks, but I'm good. So that was a nice little change, shift of pace. It was the friendliness.
I can answer that, actually.
Shoot.
It's something I noticed, too. It's the New York hustle lifestyle. Even if you think you don't hustle, you do.
Yeah.
So no matter what type of retail job you do, sales, if you do it, even if you're cleaning, even if you're a bus driver, there's this need of 1, 2, 3, come in, come out. Like, hey, you're wasting time. Like, I got to get to the next bus stop in, like, 2 minutes. Like, you're wasting time. Let's move it on. Even L.A., it's like, if the bus driver stops and someone's talking, they will wait and talk and answer their questions and help them out. It's like, yeah. Yo, you're wasting 5 minutes helping this man out. Right. What are you doing? That's just the hustle culture. So everybody's nicer, more genuine, and they really, that's customer service. New York hustle customer service works well for New Yorkers,
right?
Because, like, I'm trying to be out, you're trying to be out too, so it just works.
Yeah, we don't like long, drawn-out stories. Every time I'm
unless
at work,
I'm consistently coming. Like, you know me, and this is like my 8th time.
That's,
you know,
different. Exactly.
Week, that's different.
We don't like long, drawn-out conversations or stories. Every time I'm at work, I'm like, okay, tell me what you need, though, because they'd give me this long, drawn-out story about this ticket and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, but do you need this? Do you need that? Like, they're like, okay, I need this. I'm like, okay, thank you. That's all I needed. And I help them right away. In Texas, everything is just long and drawn out, and everyone is just, it's slower. I'll say
it's
that.
Regular. No, it's, no, no. It's regular. It's, you not, think it's slower. In New York, we actually move really fast. It's,
yes.
It's regular out there.
Fashion, I will say this. It's not my regular. My regular is this, okay? Yeah. So that regular is not what I'm used to. I'll say that. Okay. Another thing, I understand why people in Texas are fat. I get it now. The food is freaking incredible. It is, goddamn, man. It was amazing. Amazing. The first thing I did once I got everything situated with my hotel and stuff for the night, I made sure I picked a location where I could walk to get Whataburger. Yes, it was 30 minutes away, and I didn't realize that the Texas 30 minutes away was a lot different from a New York 30 minutes away. But I got to the goddamn Whataburger, which is a staple in Texas, and you can only find it in Texas. And I have to tell you something, Bastion. Them Texas prices are cheap. I'm talking really cheap. They were selling this 44-ounce bottle of soda, a cup of soda, for $2.50. Okay? It was disturbingly cheap. And I remember hitting up my manager, shout out to Val, because she has a sister out in Dallas and she has property in Dallas. And so I asked her, like, what's the go-to order at Whataburger? What should I get? And she was like, yo, get the Whataburger patty melt. So I got the Whataburger patty melt, double patty, nice pepper jack cheese, this sauce on it, and you can add different stuff to it too, sort of like Five Guys. So what I did was I added jalapenos and bacon on that. And here's another difference, right? It's Texas fast food. It's sort of like Five Guys. It's sort of like Shake Shack. They make it right then and there. They got the grills. They got all that stuff set up. And so they make it ready to order. So, you know, once you order it, they start cooking it right away. And then I got the fries. And then they asked me, hey, do you want regular ketchup or spicy ketchup? I was like, the hell is spicy ketchup? And so they explained what it was. And I was like, you know what? Let me get this spicy ketchup. And the spicy ketchup, Bastion, god damn, man, it's really good. I can never go back now.
What is it, like ketchup and cayenne pepper?
Something like that. A little bit of vinegar in it. Stuff like that. Yeah.
So you're talking about prices and cheapness. Do you know the minimum wage in Texas is?
I do not know the minimum wage in Texas, Bastion.
Do you know the minimum wage of New York State?
Bro, what? What are you asking me right now?
No, I'm just asking.
State? No.
Okay. New York City, at least.
Yes.
What is it?
It's still 15, right?
Yeah, it's still 15. Okay. I think next year it's going up to 17.
Yeah, all right. So cool.
New York City is 15. New York State is 1320, right?
Jeez. Okay.
I know. Texas is still 725.
God damn.
All right. So just to kind of like clarify like why things are cheaper there is because the state hasn't really reached to like, you know, lifestyle is super, super different.
Super different.
So the job that you have now, if you work that same job over there and transfer, they have to kind of give you less money because there's no way, just nothing in the budget for you to give you the same budget for New York costs. Bruh. Which is, you know,
if I get the same pay, talk. If I get the same pay now, if I go down to Dallas, because I remember my manager, she was like, yo, if you have to move to Texas or Dallas, I'll give you my apartment for $500 a month. $500 a month with all amenities common. And everything. I'm like, wait, what?
It's common. $500, $900,
yeah.
$1,500 for a two-bedroom apartment. Yeah. Dude, that's an office right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, it's pretty interesting. So, mm-hmm. You had a great time at Whataburger. Did you try out any... Whataburger. Did you enjoy it?
Oh, dude, it was amazing. It was freaking phenomenal. I was like, damn, this is really good.
What else did you try out there?
So, conveniently enough, right after I had Whataburger, there was a Raising Cane's next door. And for those of you who listen to Black Seinfeld, I've talked about Raising Cane's and the fact that, A, it's coming to Times Square. And so I wanted to test it out because everyone was talking about how mid it was to me on Twitter. So I thought, this is my shot. So right after Whataburger, I went straight across the street to the Raising Cane's. And I have to be honest with you, Bastion. Raising Cane's freaking sucks. Don't eat it. It's not good. It's not good at all. The chicken is bland. It is not seasoned. It is juicy. I will say that. But the one thing that saves the damn chicken, and everyone can attest to it, say it with me now in 1, 2, 3, the Raising Cane's sauce. It is freaking good, man. That sauce is good.
When I was working within the restaurant industry and I had to go to different restaurants, there was a chicken sandwich, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it looked beautiful. It looked beautiful on the picture. And I saw the reviews who said they'd love the sauce. So I got the standard sauce one, the barbecue sauce chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
Yo, I ate it. It was drenched in sauce. Like, wow, this sauce is good. It's sweet. It's tasty. It's barbecue.
Uh-oh.
Man, this chicken is straight up trash.
That's one thing where I get a bit concerned with because I think if you drench your chicken in sauce, that's a dead giveaway that something might be wrong with the chicken.
It's funny because I spoke to another person when I referenced that same restaurant, and that person said the same thing before I said it.
Yeah.
He said, yeah, like, I tried that place. Something about the sauce just covering for the sad mistake of the chicken sandwich within itself. I say, yeah, exactly. That's how I feel. Mm-hmm. No, just sauce me up, man. Like, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely understand that feeling of being disappointed.
Yeah.
Almost as disappointing as Wingstop's chicken sandwich. Straight up trash. Do not try the chicken sandwich at Wingstop. It is trash, people. All right? I think I said that last episode.
You did.
2 weeks ago. It is double trash, okay? No matter what flavor you try for, I watch every YouTube video. Everybody's saying the same thing. What am I eating? This is straight trash. It's embarrassing.
Well, you know what, Bastion? Since we're on this conversation of chicken sandwich really quick, because today I actually tried the new brought back Chick-fil-A spicy grilled chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A.
Mm. Still shopping at Chick-fil-A, huh?
I'm still at... Hey, shout out to all my LGBTQ plus fans. Hey, I love y'all. Don't ever get it misconstrued, but I still like the chicken. I'm sorry, okay? My bad.
We all participate in terrible, terrible...
Exactly. Things. This is for content, people. You have to understand, I ate this for the content because I'm here to tell you that it's actually really good. I'm not going to lie. It's dope. It's a good-ass chicken sandwich. It's nice. It's nice, man.
Spicy grilled.
Spicy grilled chicken. Yeah, man. And they asked you what kind of cheese you want on it, too. That threw me off. You're like, oh, you want Colby, pepper jack, cheddar? I was like, oh, damn. And then they gave you this sauce with this, like a cilantro zesty sauce that you throw on that bad boy. Woo! With the sauce, it's amazing. Without the sauce, it's still good. You know, it's just your preference.
That's a big plus. I'm glad you said that. You know, if you tried it with the sauce and without, super important.
Mm-hmm.
Don't add salt. Try it out before you add the salt to it.
Yeah.
But cool. Cool.
Yes. But yeah, that was Raising Cane's.
Yeah, that was Raising Cane's.
And yes.
So yeah, Raising Cane's, you had
Whataburger. That was in one day. And then the next day was my last day. And so right after I had to do what I had to do, I was like, oh, crap. Well, it's only 12 o'clock now. My flight isn't until 7. So I have about 5 hours to kill here. So I decided to do a little bit of sightseeing. And so I got a Lyft down, going downtown. And the first thing I wanted to do was I wanted to go see the site where they assassinated John F. Kennedy, because that happened November 22nd, 1963 in Dallas, Texas. And so thankfully enough, I had the driver with me that was one, like he was 7 years old when it happened. And two, he was a big conspiracy theorist on the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, bruh. He was like, so where I'm going to take you right now, the pavement, it is the same exact pavement from the 60s. So when you reach that pavement, it's going to look old. And once we get down the street, you're going to see two white X's. And those are the indications of where the president was shot. Now, we always thought that President John F. Kennedy was shot one time, but no, he was shot twice. But that's something they never tell you. They always tell you about the one shot, but they never tell you about the second shot. So this is actually a government conspiracy, but he did it in a southern accent. I was like, yeah, I always knew they were trying to cover this up, man. Like, because they said the shooter was out by that building where the window was up. Fun fact, the actual memorial museum, it's in the building where the shooter shot him, allegedly, where the assassin was, okay? And so they have the window up. They have one of the windows up, and that is where, allegedly, the assassin, a.k.a. the Soviet Union sympathizer, was at the time, allegedly. But yes, again, two white X's on the pavement, and, you know, a lot of people say there was a second shooter, you know? There was someone who shot from the back and from the front. Pause. That sounded weird. But there was a second shooter. Apparently, people were saying by the bushes, okay? By the bushes. Also, there was like a bridge, too, going into that tunnel. And that bridge is still the same bridge where people stood up and they saw President John F. Kennedy assassinated. And so when I got by the street, there was a lot of people just there, you know, taking pictures. I took a couple pictures. And ironically enough, everyone was just talking about the conspiracy, like, nah, man, this is a conspiracy, because you see the two white X's and there had to be someone else, but we just don't know who. This has been I am one for the conspiracy theory, Bastion. You know me. I love
this
a good conspiracy.
Uber driver?
This is my Uber driver who was around at the time. He was 7 when this happened.
Your Uber driver is definitely the most sane Texas theoretical theorist out there.
Yeah.
And shout out to him and his theories.
Shout out to you,
right,
Joe.
I never heard of the two bullet theories. I actually don't want to ever look into those theories. I know about Robert F. Kennedy.
Oh, yeah.
And the RFK tapes. That was a podcast turned into a documentary TV show, which I did not watch because I think the podcast was enough. I think it was like 10, maybe 9 episodes. The first 6 was like, wow, this is a conspiracy. I feel it. And then the last 3 was like, you know what? Maybe it was just one mistake and it's led to down like a really, really weird hole. So I think that's probably the same thing for John F. Kennedy too.
Yeah. If y'all want to contribute to the JFK assassination conspiracy theory, please hit us up at blacksignfulny@gmail.com. That's where you can leave a comment. Hit us up. If you know anything about this, please contact us on all of our social media platforms, by the way, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, blacksignfulny, please. Hit us up. Oh, and drop a comment on YouTube as well. Shout out to all you YouTube viewers right now that is watching this. Do you know anything about the JFK assassination? Do you think something else has gone on? Is this a government conspiracy? Is this a mob conspiracy? If you're a mob, if you're someone from the Italian mob, please, you know, don't come after us. All right. I love the San Gennaro Festival is going on right now in New York, Bastion, as you know. But hey, if you know anything and you're in the mob, like, I'm not saying don't be a rat, just hit us up on Black Seinfeld ny@gmail.com. We won't say your name or anything, but if you feel comfortable enough to, like, let us in on some information, because we heard, like, the Kennedys and the mob, they had some things going on and all that. But just, you know, just let us know. Let, you know, just do it for us, okay? It's been over, like, 60 years.
We could sidetrack and talk about some old stuff.
Yeah, that's all. But, you know, it goes with, I'm going with the theme, because, you know, I'm in Dallas, and I'm doing Dallas things, Bashin, so I had to talk about that really quick.
If I was in Dallas, I would not go there. I would not think of going there. It's just nothing. When you told me that you're going to do that,
mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, I would never do that. That's all. That's all it is. It's like I would. That would never come up to my mind to go see where John Kennedy was assassinated, because sometimes I forget he was assassinated in Texas. It's just one of those things that just doesn't cross my mind.
That's fair.
Like I said, I know a lot about Robert F. Kennedy because I heard the podcast tapes. Now all that happened in California. Saran, that was the guy who shot him. He's still in jail today. Crazy. I do recommend checking out that podcast. It is a good amount of creepy, but
you know, I love a good true crime story, so I'm definitely gonna check it out. Like for example, if I ever make it to Memphis, Tennessee, I'm going to the Lorraine Motel without question. Like, that's one thing I'm going to do. Probably going to cry, but definitely going to the Lorraine Motel.
What was that for?
That's where Martin Luther King got assassinated.
Yeah. See, I don't know those things.
You black basher, you should know that. Come on now.
Lorraine Hotel?
The Lorraine Motel, basher, not hotel, motel.
Okay.
Yes, anyways, let me continue my Dallas trip, okay? Then after seeing the JFK Memorial, I went to the Dallas Aquarium. It was really nice. I got to see sharks. I got to see fishes. I got to see a lot of birds, actually. I don't know why. They have a lot of birds over there. But after that, I worked up an appetite, and I was like, you know what? I cannot complete this Dallas, Texas trip without getting some barbecue. And luckily for me, Bastion, I found where the black people were all the time in Texas, in Dallas, Texas. I don't know what it was. Maybe it's just a black thing where we just gravitate towards each other. But I found an old school barbecue joint where they give you heavy duty plates, plastic plates, and they give you styrofoam cups and all that, bruh. I had ribs. I had brisket, because Texas is known for their brisket. I had a 3 queso mac and cheese. I had baked beans. I had a nice little roll. And then there was a beer that I was told to get while I was in Texas called Shinerbach. It was really tasty. It was delicious. And then that damn barbecue, bruh. Oh, my God, Bastion. When I bit into them ribs, man, it just fell right off the bone. It was just so tender. The brisket was succulent. The baked beans was hitting. It was spicy.
Yeah.
It was just creamy. And then the queso, it just, everything just hit on a whole other level.
What did you eat the queso with? The beans?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I had a choice of two sides, so I wanted the 3 queso mac and cheese, and then I wanted the baked beans. And it was freaking delicious, man. It was, bro.
It's not like the average New York barbecue, which is a piece of white toast.
Yeah, it's not.
Like 4 sticks of, like, a very skinny calf.
Yeah, nah, bro. It was
Most expensive brisket that you could only find in the truck in New York City.
Bro, that heavy-duty plate, that was just wrapped. It was just like a freaking dome just piled up on that plate, man.
What was the cost of that?
It was like $15 for everything.
Yeah, New York, that's a mean 30.
I know, right? And fun fact, people, because I did not know this, Dallas BBQ, the restaurant, has nothing to do with Dallas at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know.
I actually spoke to someone from Dallas about that years ago, in like 2018.
Really?
And he was like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I was like, damn.
Apparently, it's a New York thing.
Average New Yorker.
Yeah. It's a New York thing, man. I was, that was another humbling experience. I was like, oh, damn, really? But yeah, man, the barbecue is out of this world. I met the owner. She was a lovely lady. She was like, you're clearly not from here. What are you doing down here? So I told her what I was doing down there. And the question I got asked a lot from the native Dallas people was, hey, if you actually like get the job or whatever and you have to pick a place to live, would you want to live in Dallas? And I was like, honestly, within my days here, y'all are making it a hard decision to say not to say no. But there was certain things that reminded me, yeah, I'm still in Texas. Which brings me to the first thing. I could buy guns wanted to.
It's an open carry state.
It's an open carry state, bruh. And so...
with no license, by the way.
No license, by the way. Exactly. So there was a lot of stores that I was passing where you can buy gold, you can buy guns at the same store, you can buy liquor, you can get some new sneakers, and you can get an AK if you'd like. So that was a bit weird. I'm not going to lie. That was a bit... Now, while I haven't seen anyone with a gun strapped to their sides, just seeing a lot of stores where you can buy a gun if you want, that was a bit different, okay? That was something different. Another thing that I had to realize since I was in Texas, Ted Cruz is a senator out there. I had to think about that. Also, everyone has...
Governor Abbott, too.
Greg Abbott is the governor as well. Also, another thing, they have about 35 electric companies. Let's not forget about that
all
grid.
Them privatized.
Yeah.
Separated from the national grid.
That's crazy. Right. Hey, go back to Black Seinfeld 2021 where we talked about that, okay? That was a crazy time.
Yeah, so, like, I we've been dissing Texas for a minute.
We have.
It's impossible to live there. Maybe Austin for me in terms of because it's like a tech bubble right now.
That's where the liberals are. Yes, you can go there.
Yeah, that's where liberals are.
Yeah.
But it is shifting. It is shifting. Even the Spanish population in Texas is shifting into a more conservative background. Yeah. So it is going to be a scary place soon when you have less local liberal backing. It's just going to shift into more conservative.
That's
so
right.
Yeah. Would you move there? It's like... I don't know, maybe a year or two.
Yeah.
You use that to place to save a lot of money.
Thankfully, everyone that was driving me around was really cool, and we talked about the politics and stuff. And so they're like, yeah, Ted Cruz is an idiot. A lot of the Republicans are actual idiots and don't really speak for most of the Texans here. I was like, well, I mean, Dallas, y'all are like a huge-ass city, though, so it's kind of different out here. They were like, yeah, a lot of like the rednecks and stuff, they live outside of Dallas and, you know, they have their guns and they have their Trump flags. And I was like, oh, sort of like New York, actually, because, you know, all the hicks and stuff, they're upstate. Yeah. And before
I drove to Redfield over the summer.
Oh, yeah.
We passed a couple of Trump flags.
2024s?
American flags with a little blue line. You know, I do think it's kind of backwards if you... pro cop and you listen to country music. I think there's a clash in that. Like, it doesn't make sense. So, yeah. It's always weird to me. You can't listen to country music and be pro cop. It's
what
original country music hated cops. Like,
right, but country music now, they can be very pro cop.
I think it's more popular country music. But it's one of those things, like, the popular ones doesn't speak for everybody.
That's fair. I didn't hear no rap music while I was down in Texas. It was straight up country. All country.
Maybe if you're in Houston, I think that's the bubble for it.
Yeah, maybe if I was in Houston.
Just before we head into our first song of the week.
Yeah.
Houston, in terms of walkability, there is none. So everything that you're able to do in Dallas will be much harder to do in Houston.
Seriously.
Because their infrastructure is like the worst in the country.
Jeez, really?
Yeah, it's pretty much just all roads. Like, you could see, like, before and after pictures from, like, 50, 60 years ago, and it's, like, where it is now. It's, like, just remove houses and towns and societies.
Oh, God.
For a highway. So, yeah. But most highways are designed through poor black neighborhoods
that
in
is
the first
true.
Place. So, history lesson.
Yeah.
Why everything's so hard to walk to.
Yeah. I hear you, man. But I love... my time in Dallas, I would definitely go back more than the days that I was there, probably for a week so I could do more stuff. I did get Tex-Mex before I left, too, so I was happy about the Tex-Mex. Tex-Mex is out of this world. It's freaking incredible, too.
What is that?
So it's Mexican food, but Tex-Mex, meaning it, they just add a lot more to it. Because Mexican food is traditionally, they don't add like guacamole and pico de gallo and sour cream and all that stuff. That's the stuff that they, you know, it's their own. It's the Texas Mexican culture down there. So they add a lot more stuff to quesadillas or their fajitas. Yeah, everything is bigger in Texas. That's one thing I learned. That saying is true because the food is just huge and it's cheap and it's just a lot of flavor and a lot of love, and they love iced tea, and I freaking loved it, man. It was great. It was a great time, great experience. And shout out to all y'all in Dallas, Texas. And Bastion, would you go to Dallas after my review, my 45-minute review of Texas?
Yeah, of course. No, it was 45. It was a good 30.
A good 30.
But yeah, it sounds interesting. Like you said in the middle of the show, it's like, hey, if you're from Texas, hit us up. You know, tell us a little bit more about what's going on over there. You know, next time we go there, we'll be more prepared, if anything.
Yeah. And we're going to take a little bit of a short break right now, but because I was in Dallas and I know of an artist that is from Dallas and I've been listening to her music while I was in Dallas just to get into the spirit, here is some Erykah Badu, Queen of Neo Soul herself, with Bag Lady. We'll be right back with more intellectual ignorance for your ear.
So bad inside. sexy back, lady.
Let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go.
My baby back, mama, yeah.
Let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go.
All of my book back, lady.
Let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go.
Zip line back, lady.
Woo! That was the sweet, the sultry Erykah Badu. After listening to her voice bashing, I feel like I want to eat some edible dirt. That Baduism, man, it has you in trance. It has you in a spell. That was Bag Lady off of the second album, Mama's Gun. Shout out to Erykah Badu. And shout out once again to all of the listeners and everyone tuning in that is probably from Dallas, Texas. I hope we get more of y'all. Please tune in. Listen to Black Seinfeld, the show about nothing. And now it's time for the COVID update, man.
Well, before you do that, it's like that Erykah Badu is that early 2000 music. It's it's fitting for that time, that soulful time only.
Hey, that neo-soul era of the late 90s and the 2000s, of course, you had D'Angelo, of course, you had Erykah Badu, you had Jill Scott, Maxwell.
Like 97 to like 03.
Yeah.
That's like the era.
That was the new soul, new neo soul era.
Watch the Dave Chappelle block party for like a history lesson.
Yeah.
On that era. But it, yeah.
It's so interesting that you said that too, because I actually just watched the new FD Signifier video of one Lauryn Hill.
Oh, yeah. Did he talk about the Fugees performing over there?
He did not talk about the Fugees performance in the Dave Chappelle block party, but he did mention that the Fugees, for a time there, had a lot of makeups and breakups, and they made music but never really came out. And he did talk about that era, that early 2000s, mid-2000s era.
Gotcha.
Yes.
All right, so back to the New York news, COVID update.
COVID update. It's been a while, Bastion, since we've done a proper COVID update. There was a time where we were consistent with the COVID update because we were consistently learning about the COVID, and we were learning about the vaccine, and we were learning about what COVID-19 did and all of the effects, because there was a lot of fake news coming out. And I feel like now we're in 2022, and by the way, we called it that things would go back to normal in 2022. Thank you very much. We haven't heard that much about COVID-19 anymore, and it seems like everything is going back to normal. There's a lot of companies, privatized companies, that are urging their workers to now go back to work in the office, and there's a lot of heavy restrictions that are becoming less heavily restricted now. And the biggest one of them all right now, for the longest time, was the NTA was mandating their passengers to wear a mask for the longest. Now, did people adhere to those mandates? In the beginning, yes. People did not play any games when it came to the COVID, but as time wore on, I can honestly say it was very 50-50. It was really by choice. If you were one of those that did not wear a mask, where it was heavily mandated that you were supposed to wear a mask, people looked at you funny. People thought that you thought that it was a hoax. Nowadays, people don't really care anymore. And back on September 8th, the MTA had announced that now the mask mandate is now optional. And they brought this out in the best way possible, Bastion, with their marketing. Masks are encouraged, but now optional. And of course, New Yorkers have a lot of mixed feelings about this. There's been a huge backlash, obviously, because, of course, being that a lot of New Yorkers confide in these train carts in the MTA train station areas, you know, people feel like people should remain masked up in the foreseeable future due to how many people there are on these train platforms and how many people are in these train carts, especially during rush hour, because school is back in session. So everything is generally like 2019 all over again. I'd like to know what your thoughts on this being lifted.
I do think it's very fitting for New York, well, especially the MTA, to use this same promotion as in protect yourself and protect your neighbors, protect your friends, because they did market themselves, or I guess the masking oneself in the subway as a community thing.
Yes.
Like, we have to protect everybody, protect your friends, family, elderly, everybody. But now they are taking their step back, and I do think it has to do with, like, also the mayor as well, and the government, even all of the United States, and also the people. I could even talk about myself, saying I don't wear the mask anymore.
Really?
I just don't wear the mask when I'm in, like, public transportation, or when I'm walking outside. I'm just burnt out.
Oh my God.
Finally hit me in terms of, when should I wear a mask? Why should I wear a mask? And it could be a different sense of environment that I wasn't wearing the mask out here 24/7 like I was in New York. But if I was in New York, I'd probably put the mask on back again because it was like an everyday thing. So as I build new realities or new schedules or new, you know, it's just a new world. I was like, should I take the mask on? Should I leave it in my back pocket? To the point where I just forget to pick it up. So yeah, I do think I should wear the mask again, but like these past 2 weeks, I just didn't wear the mask. I didn't get sick, but I do understand that COVID is still a possibility. But like I said, just going back, people are tired, and I do understand that. I'm exhausted. You know, maybe I just need like 2 weeks without the mask just so I could put the mask back on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe there has to be a small square just to get people to go back to it. Because I could tell you here, it's not advertised as much. Besides, if you go on the bus and say, you know, keep your mask on. But everywhere else, there's nowhere saying you should wear your mask. So now there is this trust between you and your living situation, the government.
Mm.
If your own local government isn't telling you to put on the mask, you don't feel the need to
put on the mask.
Hence, going back to the marketing of New York City, where protect yourself, protect your neighbor, protect your friends, protect your family. And if you see that constantly, you're going to wear the mask constantly. But if you stop seeing it, you're not going to really continue anymore. You're going to be like, oh, okay, so reality or things are going back to normal, quote
Definitely.
Unquote. And we are, or they, you know, MTA, now changing to you do you. Because they no longer want to give you that pressure anymore. They want you to be more relaxed, more open, and make it your choice. Because this is the United States of America, the land of many, many choices. You know, we have 20 different versions of pasta sauce. And, you know, America likes that chunky. So we want to, they want to give you options. So, hey, if you want to chill with the blue mask on, that's great. You know, black mask matches your fit. But if you don't want to wear a mask because you got nice gold grills, you got to rock them out. Just don't get robbed. And that's kind of what's going on in New York City. And do I agree with it? I disagree with it because it's still New York City. The population is very dense.
Yeah.
But if you're in a, like, open society like where I am right now, where everything's so far away, especially if you walk, like, no one's in the sidewalk, just take off the mask, like, you're not bumping into anybody.
Yeah.
I won't be surprised if those places, which is most, as you said, you were just in Texas.
Yeah.
You see how different it is.
That was non-existent.
Non-existent. So dense places like Miami, Chicago, New York, like, they live very, very differently compared to, like, I guess, like, downtown L.A. is dense as well.
Mm.
But they live completely different from the rest of the world.
Yeah.
So it is a local thing. And I do think it could bite them in the butt maybe during holiday seasons where it's 100%. The most dense with foreign people. Foreign people as in someone from, like, PA could come visit their family. And it could be from Connecticut or it could be from France. It's just that's how New York City is designed.
Yeah.
We bring tourists over and that's how it keeps the blood flowing. And anything could happen during that time because people don't really get tested anymore when they're hopping on planes, depending on which country they are. But in New York City, they're not going to say, like, oh, you have to get tested. It's just super different.
Yeah. So. I remember last year when there was the new variant. What was it? I think it was, like, one of the Delta variants. It was on the rage here in New York, and that was during the holiday season. That it was huge back in December, and I remember saying, as soon as New Year's is over, and we're in, like, the second week of January, the numbers are going to start going down because all the tourists are going to go back home. And as soon as that happened, as soon as it was January, as soon as we were in the new year and school started starting back up and everyone started going back to work and stuff and doing the hybrid thing, I remember the cases started declining again. And so I think you are definitely right, and you hit the nail right on the head where we might start seeing another spike happening as soon as December due to the holiday season being upon us soon. And hell, even I know Thanksgiving parade is still a thing, so we might start seeing it in the end of November. And then for the month of December, we're probably going to start seeing that again due to the influx of people who think New York during Christmas time is one of the most romantic things ever, which, not gonna lie, it kind of is, dog. It's dope. It's really nice, honestly.
You gotta be in New York at least one time. You have to. It is beautiful somewhere.
You have to, man.
Some spots in Manhattan?
Yeah, it is. Okay. And that's why I always say, fellas, do not wife up, don't cuff with the woman during this time of the year, okay? This holiday season will get you, okay? And then you're gonna start spending all this money. Don't do it. Do it around March, because after the holiday season, it's after Valentine's Day. Don't do it, okay? Do it in March. Trust me, you will thank me later.
And watching the ball drop is a terrible day idea.
Yeah, don't do that. That is actually god-awful. Don't do it. It's just nasty.
It's been pretty good these past 2 years, but that's due to global warming.
Yeah.
But you just never know. It could be negative 17 degrees.
And your ass is standing there waiting for Mariah Carey. But I will say this, as soon as things become optional, especially here in New York, there is a high probability where you're going to see people adhere to the optional aspect of these quote-unquote mandates now. And so ever since the 7th of September, there's been a lot more people with their mask off that rather than on. Of course, you still see people with their mask on splattered throughout the train carts and stuff like that, but it isn't that big of a deal anymore as it once was a year ago, where people were looking at you funny if you didn't have your mask on. Now everyone is going back to basketball games, everyone's going back to concerts, everyone is just around one another. But I will say this, the moment someone starts coughing, people will start looking. The moment. That's always been a thing.
I'm still looking. Y'all here coughing with no mask.
Right.
Look crazier.
Yeah, you know, back then it would take like at least 3 coughs for people to start looking. All it takes is 1 now. And people start looking. Like, you gotta relax.
I give people the benefit of the doubt in LA because I think I told you this before. When you're coughing here,
it's dry.
Because like something like the air is so dry, water cannot help you. You have to cough it out. Whatever is in your throat, you have to cough it out.
Wow.
And drink water. You drink water, it's like maybe water will go around the dust particle that's stuck in your throat. That's the way I feel. So you have to cough it out. I'd be in bed, like choking. You know, average New Yorker has a bottle of water right next to them before they go to sleep in the nightstand.
Oh, absolutely. That's
just
the way
you just never know. You wake up at 3 a.m., just need a sip, and you're back to the sleep.
That's very
accurate. Water is not helpful. It does not help me. It does not save me. If anything makes matters worse, I have to cough.
Oh, man.
It's a different lifestyle out here.
How is California water, Bastion?
It's disgusting. I do not drink California water. Oh, I have a filter.
Ooh.
Filtered water. I think it's a 40 cup filter, so. And I constantly have bottled water, smart water.
I see you.
It's nicely discounted. I think this is a 33.8 fluid ounce. I think it's get $12 for $24. Mm. It lasts me 2 weeks. I barely drink water anyways. But
man, Bastion, you gotta do better than that. You gotta drink more water, man.
Yeah, I drink when I'm thirsty, If my body doesn't move me towards water, I'm not drinking it. That's just how my mind is. I'm not walking around and be like those people that have 32 ounces of gallons of water, looking mad crazy, can't fit in their bag, looking crazy.
I think that's the gallon thing, Bastion. Like one of those big gallon plastic bottles where it has like markings on it, where it's like, all right, you're almost there. A couple more sips. All right, good job. Those.
I've had that.
You had those?
Yeah, it doesn't help.
Fucking corny. No, it doesn't. Of course it doesn't.
It's not corny. It's artistically designed. It's designed for you to force yourself to drink water. But then I ask you, why are you drinking so much water?
Because your body is 70% water. You need it.
Yeah, but you're sitting down on a computer. You're not sweating. Not breaking a sweat. Okay. So, I mean, not everybody needs that drink water all day. If you're a construction worker, please drink that water. You are moving. You are lifting. You know, that's labor. You're not laboring. Your eyes are not sweating. All right.
Your fingers are breaking a sweat, okay? You're typing at 100 words per minute, okay?
Man, people type with one hand, okay? So
wait, if you still type with one hand, that's weird.
You don't have a lot of things to type. You don't have a lot of things to type. You're going to be like me and put everything through dictation, copy and paste.
That's cheating.
Done. No, it's not cheating. That's how cheating. I graduated college. How do you think I wrote these essays? You think I typed it up? No,
yes.
I talk. We do radio so well when I realize my voice is the power. I dictated my entire essay.
Ooh, did you actually dictate the punctuations as well?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, okay.
Period. Space. I think it's like next line. I think it's next line.
Oh, okay.
I think Apple has the best one too. By far, I use my iPad for that.
I remember sometimes I would do the dictation stuff, and then I would just go back in and do the punctuation.
I'll do both. I think I would talk for like maybe three paragraphs, then go back and change it.
Mm.
Then it gets like triple edited once it gets into Google Word. But speaking of softwares that are very important in order to grow, one of my favorite softwares as a designer, especially dealing with user interfaces, is Figma. Now, Figma was designed to be this alternative way to design your product or your projects, especially in a team, instead of using Adobe.
Yes.
Now, the average consumer of Adobe, you do either two things. You either, like a regular person, torrent it. Cracked. You're using a broken version of Photoshop.
Clean this up,
legal,
Bastion.
Not legal. It doesn't matter.
Clean this up.
You gotta use Photoshop. All those other programs, they don't have enough tutorials on YouTube, all right? It's very important, okay? Second person, me, I'm paying this subscription, right? Of course, I'm not paying it through my email account. I'm paying it through my little brother because he has a college email account to get that discount. But anyways, you're paying through a subscription.
Creative Cloud.
The average cost of the subscription is $53 if you want all the applications.
Right.
I myself use all the applications, After Effects, Premiere, Audition, which has been amazing, by the way.
I told you.
Thank you, Gio, for putting me on. And Photoshop. And XD and Illustrator. Those I just named a bunch, but these are the ones I use consistently. Figma, on the other hand, it's more of a in between of like XD and Photoshop and maybe a little bit of Illustrator. But it does the job. Right? Figma is free.
Oh,
but
shoot.
There are versions of paying for it, but you don't have to do it.
Okay.
I've been using Figma for 3 years, and I haven't paid for it once.
What were the payments for exactly? Was it more features to unlock, or?
It's more designed for a team. So if it was a team of, let's say, Black Seinfeld expanded to, like, four people,
and we
were constantly, like, building our blog and doing website design and stuff.
That's right. We were outsourcing.
Exactly. Then we'll have to. I'm not going to outsource. Kind of local. Come on, bro. Then we will have to pay for maybe a $12 a month per person.
Okay.
In order to get more features where we'll be able to work together. Because that's the way they are. There's like different features and just different ways to expand. I actually did a job interview with Figma, but I decided not to go for it. because I just wasn't interested in doing that type of sales. But like I said, I was a big fan. I'm a big fan of Figma. Now, that's kind of the heart of any designer, any artist. They understand, like, hey, Figma, Adobe, that's the battle. I'm going to watch, I'm going to see where it goes through. I'm going to try to master both sides of the force, whatever my job wants me to do. This is the one I'm going to mostly use it. So I've been focusing. I mastered XD like last year. It's really fun. And it works great. I think the colors are beautiful. And I, for these past couple months, I've been working with Figma. And I have some like apps ideas I'm trying to work on. And out of nowhere, I get the news. I get the news that Adobe bought Figma for $20 billion.
Good for the creators.
So you're probably listening, you're bashing this. I do not care about Figma. I don't even know what it is. I saw it on the news too. I know Adobe. But
everyone knows
what's
Adobe.
The big deal? It is a big deal. It's very important. It's a, like I'm trying to. It's equivalent to, let's say, if Google bought Yahoo in its prime when they were very competitive, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say Google bought Yahoo in 2008, right?
Right.
This is before Yahoo went downhill after they bought Tumblr and just like, what am I gonna do? What am I supposed to use this platform for? You're competing with each other. You're supposed to challenge each other. Adobe XD has this feature. Figma doesn't. Well, Figma will build a feature similar to it, but even better. That's how it works. That's what people were looking back and forth for. Some projects you might need to use Adobe. Some projects you might need to use Figma. But that's kind of the part of the game. Because they're not related to each other. You know each of them are trying to be better than the next. But what does it mean when this super conglomerate, monolithical Adobe buys out this company that I don't even think is worth $1 billion, to be honest, for $20 billion? It's a great software. Like I said, the best thing about Figma is you don't even have to download the desktop version. You could just work on it through your web browser.
What Bastion is trying to get at, ladies, gentlemen, and non-binaries, is Bastion is not a big proponent for monopolies, and this is what he feels Adobe purchasing its competition is basically doing. It's creating this monopoly.
Also overpriced.
Why are you hating that? Let him get the 20 billion. It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
I know, Bastion. I know.
It's beyond comprehension. We're going to do with $20 billion, let alone $1
billion. What would you do with $20 billion?
Disappear, bro. You would not find me.
Okay, let him freaking disappear. Let him, I don't know.
You can't be a company and disappear. Now you have the $20 billion. Now you guys still work in the company, but now you have a boss you have to talk up to.
According to the deal, the creators of that app, they're still going to be a part of the company.
For now. All those companies work the same way. Mm-hmm. No matter what, every acquisition. I hate company acquisitions. I hate them all. I hate every single one of them. I think all of them are nonsensical.
Shout out to Discovery Warner.
Discovery Warner is the worst thing ever.
Hey, we're going to get Cutthroat Kitchen, Game of Thrones style. I'm telling you this already. We're getting it.
What was it, AT&T that owned Warner? And they gave it away for like half the amount they bought it for?
Yeah, or when AT&T bought out Singular. Right, remember that? When Singular Wireless was a thing and AT&T bought it out and then... I remember
that's probably the first acquisition I knew as a kid in 2005. Like, oh, people could do this? That sounds insane.
And then Sprint got bought out. Was it by T-Mobile?
T-Mobile.
Yeah. Good times. That's
how all the Sprint stores turned to like pink shelters.
That's right. Free Netflix.
Disgusting. For T-Mobile. I don't want your Netflix. Stay away from me. I ain't pay extra for it, too. I have two phone bills. I have two phones, but...
That's right, Kevin Gates.
I just have to complain.
I understand, man. I know you're not a Monopoly guy, but you know it's. I feel like
that's like if Logic Pro bought Ableton, it'll destroy the structure of music.
Or creation. Pro Tools bought them all. What if Pro Tools bought Ableton?
If Pro Tools bought Fruity Loops, FL Studio.
Yeah.
That's even worse.
Or if Apple buys Samsung.
Say again?
Or if Apple buys Samsung.
I don't know, man. I don't think that's possible.
I know, but I'm just, it's all hypothetical.
That's a Korean oligarchy, okay? So.
I'm just saying, man. You know, Disney.
That won't happen.
Well, we got Disney here.
If Google buys Apple, or no, not buy, if they work together. What's it called? Not fusion.
Like a partnership?
Partnership, something like that. That will be the end of time. But this isn't like Adobe and Figma working together. This is Adobe being...
just outright buying out.
Their new boss. It's almost like a venture capitalist, right? Mm-hmm. Buying Toys R Us and saying, hey, make us money. We spent a lot of money. I forget how much they spent. Maybe $60 billion on you.
Well,
and then you have to pay it off because you realize the profit margins of Toys R Us just cannot cover your venture capitalist buyout.
Or how about, I look at it maybe as sort of what Mark Zuckerberg did with a lot of these social media outlets where, you know, he acquired Instagram, he acquired WhatsApp, and then he saw Snapchat on the rise and he wanted to buy Snapchat, but Snapchat was like, screw your $1 billion. And so what he did with Instagram was he made a better version of Snapchat through Instagram. Maybe Adobe tried to convince them to, you know, join in with the team, or else they would use all their money and assets to destroy them and make a better version of what they're doing already.
Figma is designed
to
make
things. I'm just throwing it out there.
No, I love it. I love it. Mm-hmm. I could actually talk to this. Figma was designed so you don't have to use Photoshop and Illustrator and After Effects together just to make a project, right? Mm-hmm. A small project you're going to use to pitch. This isn't the actual app, right? This is just to pitch it. That's what Figma is designed to do. Now a couple years later, Adobe created XD just for that, and Adobe was free for creators and companies to use.
I know.
So XD was free because they knew they had to compete with Figma. All right? It's almost equivalent to phone companies charging you per text. 1,000 texts is $10 a month. Then soon, I forgot what company was the first one to do unlimited. I think it was Verizon.
It was Verizon.
Was the first company to do unlimited texts because they realized, you know, it's stupid. Mm-hmm. Then people realized, why am I paying so much for texts?
Mm-hmm.
It should be unlimited.
That's right.
So it's almost to that way where one company does something very different and the other company just copies them. But the thing is, it's so new. It's so like open through the environment, and Figma is a team that works with many, many groups of companies. They're able to kind of continue that. It's not like Snapchat, which has no idea what it's doing. Like, you go on Snapchat, you're getting all these weird ads. You're getting ads on top of ads. They wish they were like maybe 10% what TikTok is. TikTok is content, 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 ad, content, 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 ad. And the ads are pretty good. Because I'm not annoyed. It's not like going on YouTube and getting ads on YouTube, which I don't because I'm not crazy. But, you know, I pay for my YouTube premium. Yes.
I know, Bastion. You talk about it every time.
So for what you said about if you think Adobe could have just like arm muscle Figma out of the competition,
mm-hmm.
No. Because there is a big world where we do need the competition in design. It's an open market. It's still a young market. It's not social media. It's design. Okay.
I will say this. I hear your point, and you make a great point. I will also remind you of a time where the Microsoft era was booming, and at that point in the 90s, Microsoft was the number one PC software in the America, in the world. And that was due in part to it becoming a monopoly, and Bill Gates was strong-arming a lot of these small-ass companies to join him or else he will destroy them. So I'm just saying, man, it can be a possibility. you know, where Adobe is like, you know what? They're trying to be like Bill Gates. They're trying to follow the Bill Gates motto. That's all I'm saying.
If XD came out before Figma, I would agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
But the way Figma came out and the way it's developed for the designers working on the, like, the web page and the apps just to get the idea out.
Yes.
I would have a different perspective on it. I agree. It'll be strong-armed, join us, or, you know, I will defeat you to dust. But because there's an open market for it, the same way I think there's an open market for other DAWs system as well, it's just, you know, if you're not, like, the top five, you know, like Ableton, if not, like, Logic Pro, even not, like, Pro Tools, like, no one's going to use you because there's no education towards it. But there's a lot of education towards Figma, which Figma worked really, really hard on. And there's a lot of education on Adobe, which Adobe worked hard on, too. So that's kind of just the game within itself. I disagree with everything. This is kind of where government interventions, like, please, Mr. Government Man, just, like, stop this whole thing and split it up. Mm. Eventually, hot take prediction, maybe 10 years from now. 10 years from now, TV... movies are going to be so bad that Hollywood will somehow trick a president into breaking up Discovery, Warner Brothers, and all those people into multiple companies where content would be better again. Maybe 10-15 years.
10-15 years? I can see. Okay, I think the reason why 10-15 years would be appropriate is because I genuinely feel that this government isn't really all that knowledgeable about this stuff, nor do they care about it.
Government.
Yeah, nor do they care about it too. That's why Disney can get away with repatenting Mickey Mouse, although the patent has the copyright is worn out.
It's going to, like, it has like a year left. Or
yeah,
right?
but they're going.
Mike Seinfeld, Mickey Mouse, here we come. T-shirt so quick, man.
Hey, I told you, I'm gonna see that Winnie the Pooh horror movie coming out soon. I'm definitely gonna check that out. But I'm telling you, it's the reason why Disney is able to strong arm so many companies. It's because of the reputation and what Disney symbolizes. You know what I mean? And I think. No one's really paying attention to Discovery or Warner, due to that as well. I don't think people really, well, the government really cares about that stuff. It's because
it's open market.
Yeah.
This is like the most capitalist thing ever. Mm-hmm. So if other companies are like being a vacuum to other companies, that's just the way it's going to be.
Oh, wait till. I don't know if you know this, but there was an insider article where they were predicting, well, not even making a prediction. There was like a rumor spreading around that Discovery Warner might be bought out again from Universal. NBC Universal.
NBC. They have money to throw.
I know. And the whole thing with that, too.
Viacom.
Yeah. And the whole thing with NBC Universal is... you know, NBC has Peacock, and Peacock is trash. And with acquiring Discovery Warner, you know, they can do like this huge freaking merger where they'll have access to all this content. So, of course, the WB stuff, DC, hell, WWE, they'll have so much stuff. And they'll use like the HBO Max sort of format, and it'll. And think about The Office and Psych and all that crap. Like, it's gonna be bad if this rumor comes to fruition. But we don't know again. Just saying, it's what I've been hearing around the streets as of lately.
It's important to understand. I know we kind of switched subject, but I think this is all fall within the bubble of corporations and acquisitions that like. For all that HBO Max has done in terms of like the audience, me and you, like we love HBO Max, it's great, but now it's destroying itself. Has to do with like Discovery Plus CEO, who is the CEO of both of them together.
Yes,
and it's more of I think in my opinion, it's his goal to make Discovery Plus the household name.
Right, exactly. Well, that's
to remove HBO and just call it like maybe Discovery Max. That's kind of going to be the end game for all this.
Well, that's the thing when it comes to mergers, Bastion, and especially when a company buys out another company, it's really nasty because it's a lot of out with the old and in with the new. And so you'll have people that worked in Warner for years, right? And unfortunately, they'll get X'd out of stuff because, you know, the new people are coming in. And so when you have a new regime, you know, they have their own vision of what they want the company to be. So they'll bring in their own people and they'll have their people run the company how they want it to be. So unfortunately, that's just how corporate goes. Again, we could talk about the Vince McMahon stuff and, you know, how he got ousted out and, you know, his daughter and his son-in-law got put back in. And so that's just how corporate goes, man. And because, yes, Discovery bought out Warner, I'm telling you, you're going to start seeing 90 Day Fiancé on HBO Max or
relax.
I'm sorry. Or you know what? It can be Discovery Plus or Discovery Max, but you know, there's probably going to be like a little HBO hub right there on Discovery Plus.
I think they're going to remove the HBO and just keep it for TV. But you're right. I do see what you said is going to be the future. But it is going to affect movies, TV shows, because the budget is going to be just for those. So instead of five companies, each of those companies, five million, is going to be five companies fused into one. Budget is still $5 million. So
it's already affecting how television is today, because there's a lot of television shows that are really crap on air, and they're saving those shows now exclusively for their streaming services.
Yeah,
that's a thing.
I noticed that too.
Yeah,
even Hulu is doing that. I think Orville was a Fox show.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a great show. I do recommend people to watch it. But the new season, which isn't season three, it's just a new season, is on Hulu, and I think I only watched the first two episodes. It's so good.
Yep,
but it was just weird. It's almost what Disney's going to do with
Daredevil.
So it's not going to be season four. It's going to be a new season.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's kind of where I wanted to go with Adobe. It's just frustrating to see a large corporation like Adobe really. I really think they took a knee on this one in terms of, like, yeah, we bow down. Like, you're going to be our competition, and we're just going to buy you out now so we don't have to deal with you in the future. Like, it's good for both of them, actually, mm-hmm. if they one was competing with the other. It's like, it's a growth thing. You'll realize what you need, but what now? You're just going to have two softwares that do exactly the same thing under your belt?
Yeah, pretty much. I know you were a big proponent of that software, so I sympathize with you. I guess you gotta find something new now.
Steve Jobs was alive. He would just destroy that company. If he was ahead of Adobe, just like, yeah, we bought you out just to destroy you. That's it.
Hey.
Well, I miss those old school days. Just came on to straight up destroy them. Let's get into the next song.
Sure. We're going to get into the next song of the week. This song of the week goes out to one of my favorite albums of the year, 2022. It's been getting a lot more praises as of late, and I appreciate that because, damn it, it deserves it. And again, I saw the man live during my summer vacation, during my summertime, and I got to tell you, it made me appreciate this album even more now than I already did when he came out with Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers back in May. Here we go. Here's the one, the only, Kendrick Lamar.
Kendrick made you think about it, but he is not your savior. Cole made you feel empowered, but he is not your savior. Future said get a money counter, but he is not your savior. Brian made you give his flowers, but he is not your savior. He is not your savior.
Mr. Morale, give me high five. 2 times in a code offended, judging my life. Backpedaler, what they say you do to cha-cha. I'ma stand on it, 6'5", from 5'5". Fun fact, I ain't taking back. Like it when they pro-black, but I'm more Kodak black. Tell me where the money at, ay, where the homies at. Universal call out, I can members only that, ay. CC, wait a minute. Ben-A-Ki, c'est la vie. I tell the whole truth from A to Z, ay. Show me you real, show me that you bleed, ay. Hello, crackers. I seen, thank you in about who's blacker. Even blacked out screens and called it solidarity. Meditating in silence, makes you wanna tell on me. Are you happy for me? Really? Are you happy for me? Smile on my face, but are you happy for me? Yeah, I'm out the way. Are you happy for me? Are you happy for me? Really? Are you happy for me? Smile on my face, but are you happy for me? Yeah, I'm out the way. Are you happy for me? Bite they tongues and rap lyrics, scared to be crucified about the song, but they won't admit it. Politically correct is how you keep an opinion. Tight lip, who dare to be different? Seen a Christian say the vaccine mark of the beast. Then he caught COVID and prayed to Pfizer for relief. Then I caught COVID and started to question Kyrie. Will I stay organic or hurt in this bed for 2 weeks? Do you want peace? Then watch us in the street. One protest for you. 365 for me. Vladimir making nightmares. But that's how we all think. The collective conscious. Calamities on repeat. Huh. Are you happy for me? Millie, are you happy for me? Smile on my face, but are you happy for me? Yeah, I'm out the way. Are you happy for me? Are you happy for me? Millie, are you happy for me? Smile on my face, but are you happy for me? Yeah, I'm out the way. Are you happy for me?
Truth, it resides in the fire. The need of his dire. Deceiving the lies I know. Truth, it resides in the fire. The need of his dire. Deceiving the lies I know.
The cat is out the bag, I am not your savior. I find it just as difficult to love thy neighbors. Especially when people got ambiguous favors, but they hearts not in it. See, everything's for the paper. The struggle for the right side of history. Independent thought is like an eternal enemy. Capitalist posing as compassionists be offending me. Yeah, suck my d- with authenticity. Yeah, Tupac dead, gotta think for yourself. Yeah, heroes looking for the villains to help. I never been sophisticated, same face. Being manipulative, such a required taste. I rubbed elbows with people that was for the people. They all greedy, I don't care for no public speaking. And they like to wonder where I've been. Protecting my soul in the valley of silence.
Welcome back to Black Seinfeld, the show about nothing. Closing out the show right now. Once again, that was Kendrick Lamar, Savior. See, it's not your savior. Off of Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers, double LP. Great album. Definitely in the discussion for top 10 albums of 2022. Possibly top 5. I'm close enough, Bastion, where I think I have a top 10 list already set for this year, and it hasn't even ended. And I think the rate that this year has been so gracious and kind to me with the music, I might have another top 20. That's how good it's been in 2022.
I agree. I've been listening to a lot of projects, and some projects I just go back to and rediscover how great it was again.
Yeah.
I always keep saying the same thing from the beginning of the year. The Weeknd album is just something very, very interesting to me. Especially because I didn't like his last album so much, but I did like the album previously to that too. So it's always fun to listen to artists where it's like, I didn't like I like his stuff. I didn't like the last album, but I like this one. It's much better. So it's music is very interesting. It has its challenges, the listeners.
I hear you, man. Well, again, we're closing out the show, and you know, there's very monumental points in our lives where they always ask you the questions, oh, where were you when this happened? You know, like, where were you when you found out that Michael Jackson passed away? Or where were you when you found out that Michael Jordan's coming back to play basketball for the Bulls? Or where were you when you heard that
that Serena Williams and Roger Federer, they're retiring from tennis, you know, and there's something that happened about 2 weeks ago where actually I think this is when I posted up the show on like the first week of September. No, the second week of September. And honestly, there was very polarizing opinions on this person, on this person's family. And that question was, where were you when Queen Elizabeth II died? And I remember that morning I was at work and I was on Twitter as always when it's dead. And again, this was the first day of school for NYC public school kids. So I remember it being a bit of a hectic day as well. But I was at work and I just saw rumors of, Queen Elizabeth II is sick. And it's not looking good. And so I did what every normal first-generation Caribbean American does in that situation. And I changed my location, Bastion. I changed my location to Ireland.
Oh, my God. I was wondering where you're going with this. It's like, no way you're crowning this, saying, like, you pulled it off really well. You pulled it off really well. I was very confused. Like, no way you're going to get sappy with this. I don't care about the queen. All right. I'm glad you did that.
I changed my location to Ireland because I knew the Irish were ready. The Irish were ready to talk some serious-ish on the Twitters. And it was crazy that day, Bastion. I remember there was one thing that was trending saying, here we go, all in caps. It was nuts.
There's two separate Irelands. There's North Ireland and Ireland.
Yes, North Ireland. My friend Kieran has said there's a saying that they give to them that they say in Ireland is that she took the soup, right? And so it's a derogatory term meaning, you know, during the oppression that they've undergone thanks to the monarchs over in Great Britain, they took the soup means that, you know, while there was a lot of people that were starving and hungry, you know, the British were offering some Irish people some soup, and you know, and in taking the soup, they were basically taking the knee to giving their loyalty to the monarch. And so, you know, when you say you've taken the soup, that's basically it's like calling someone a coon or an Uncle Tom or a sellout in Ireland. That's their version of that.
Interesting. That's very interesting.
Yeah,
I did not know, but I knew the premise, but I did not know that particular thing. It's very interesting.
Shout out to Kieran of Wifflefit. We've played their music before.
Cool. Shout out to you.
Yeah. Shout out to y'all.
So just going back to what you're saying is like where you were. It's like I was going to say a copy and paste. I was doing the same thing. I was at work, got the news. I had Twitter on my phone at the time. I actually recently deleted Twitter.
How do you feel?
I think I might just keep it off my phone for the rest of the year.
Good.
There's other things I could do, you know, Reddit, read news, read the whole article, not just headlines. But if it, you know, Gio, please, if anything's popping off, just send it my way.
I got you. I got you, man.
But you know, I was on Twitter, I was reading everybody's opinion, and I was reading a lot of interesting opinions too, where they were saying more things that she's done over her 70 years. Am I right?
Yeah, she's one of the longest monarchs in history, over 70 years. She passed away when she was like 96. Yeah.
In history. 70 years is a long time to rule a country. Most of the times, every TV show, you think it's like 20, 30 years, you know?
Right.
I thought that was very interesting. I learned a lot of different facts, but I actually did know many of them as well, but at the same time, it was just interesting seeing people or reading people's opinions on how their country was affected by England monarch and Great Britain, and how the Queen allowed or wanted to hold certain countries under England as well.
Mm-hmm.
But you could also see, I guess using the word coonness would not be good. I guess you can. Coonness feels like more of an American type thing. But how other people were upset for the queen, or for the passing of the queen. How I think Jamaica wanted to do 15 days of mourning. And I thought that was very confusing because, one, they left the Great Britain maybe during the 60s.
Yes, they did.
I think they were given, right?
Yes, they were given emancipation. They were like...
Emancipation.
Yeah.
And then, two, the queen was on their currency.
Yep.
And they were trying... And I think they did remove it, or they're going to remove the queen off their currency as well. So to kind of see that, I thought that was strange as well. I don't know if it was just customs or people trying to be the bigger person, but that was a bad take. And like you said, it was a lot of takes from Ireland, a lot of takes from people from different countries in Africa, from, you know, South Africa to, like, you know, Yemen. And
yeah.
It's very interesting.
Yeah. I remember seeing a couple of takes from conservative, like American conservatives, and I was just like,
those were the weirdest ones.
Yeah, right? I'm like, y'all supposed to be a
little traitor.
Right. y'all love American history so much, y'all are so, I'm proud to be an American. You know that freaking song. We're Americans in the USA. They, you know, all that saluting the flag and all that. I'm thinking we're all gonna like party, you know, doesn't matter political affiliations, you know, we're gonna come together like just how all of us hate Sean King, we all hate the British monarch, and we're all gonna come together and we're all gonna drink Budweiser's and, you know, do American-ish. But no, it was the exact opposite for a lot of you conservatives, and that's what puzzles me a lot. You know, a lot of y'all are like Nazis, and a lot of y'all are down with the monarchs, but like, that's so anti-American. Like, what's up with y'all? Like that, this is where the mind comes in, because for a lot of us, you know, you and I, Bastion, being first generation Americans and stuff, and I feel like for a lot of the younger generation, a lot of first generation Americans, we have a very love-hate relationship of being here in America, right? We always talk about the injustices that people face here. A lot of people of color, a lot of black people, a lot of people with different sexual orientations, a lot of human rights have been violated and stuff like that. But deep down inside, you know, when it comes to other countries talking ish about America, and you know, I feel like we always have this sort of American pride to us. And so, you know, when I see conservatives on some like, oh, you know, all of you guys talking about how you're excited that the queen is dead and da-da-da-da-da. You know, we should give our condolences to the queen. And
mourn
the queen. It's such a mind... Like, bruh, I thought you were like gung-ho America.
Yeah, I did find that very strange as well. I wasn't sure if it was just a conservative, just to be different type ploy.
Mm.
That's what I think. I think it's just to be different. Because we could talk about how many leftist people will call out on every single action that the queen has done. And right. Then the liberal will maybe half call out, but half RIP, you know, rest in power.
Oh, yeah. Thing. And don't rest in no power. That's the point.
Exactly. And that's kind of be like the liberal aspect. But conservatives put leftists and liberal in the same circle.
Yeah.
So when one person also discusses every flaw and every problem with the British monarch and how the queen was not great at all.
Right. We were affected by the monarch, people, conservatives. Yeah. We were affected by it. We threw tea off the harbor. That was us.
The reason many countries have problems today is because of Great Britain.
Exactly.
And many of them had to pay, saying like, oh, you know, we brought your country into the future by giving you like information and data and all those type of things in order to be up to date with the world. And yeah. Said, no, you mess up the entire scope of the entire right. country.
You took our resources,
tribes together, and now there's just constantly conflict in mm-hmm. many African countries. It's insane.
And you took our resources and you know,
and the resources,
especially 100%. Us in the Caribbean. You know, we were like pivotal in the slave trade. Sugar was a freaking hot commodity. You
sugar,
know,
cotton,
coffee,
tobacco. You know, coffee, everything. It ruined a lot of soil. I could say that maybe mm-hmm. just to put the whole thing ruined a lot of soil.
Yeah,
you know, it's just disgusting. But going back to what you're saying with the conservatives being more protective, talking very highly on what power she had and how she had to keep certain power because other countries should be thankful, I was very baffled and confused. I did not see that coming. It's like, you're really stretching it now.
Yeah.
It gives off like, you know how conservatives will talk well or talk highly on like people from the South during the Civil War?
Yes.
It's like, you know, you're talking about a traitor, right? Like, you should not have a statue of a traitor.
Right. They always talk
this story.
The South shall rise again.
Like, no, those are traitors. You broke from the Union and then you went to fight the Union. That's straight up being a traitor.
Yeah.
What do you call that? What do you call it when someone's a traitor and like, and you kill them for it?
Treason.
That's cool. Treason. There you go. It's treason.
Mm-hmm.
So it's treason.
It's treason. It's treason.
And it's just ridiculous. Like, if you talk highly on the British monarch, it's treason for you. I think
super treason.
I think it should be a problem. But yeah.
Yeah. I love the fact that there was a lot of Twitter being represented during the death of Queen Elizabeth II. Again, you had Irish Twitter, which I think I've seen some of the best stuff off of Irish Twitter. I mean, I saw a chant at a football game. They were chanting "Lizzie's in a box." Like, that was some hardcore next level stuff right there. I saw brown Twitter, meaning Indian Twitter, which is, you know, subcontinent,
Lizzie's
which is
in the box.
Lizzie's in a box. That's like, what's
that? Was nuts.
That's top five diss tracks of all time.
I think so too.
Of all time. I saw a lot of stuff from Indian Twitter. So brown Twitter. And of course, India, another subcontinent, horribly just done in dirty by the British. Horribly done in dirty by the British. Also, you got to think about the migration of Indian indentured servants that migrated over to the Caribbean. That was due to Great Britain over there. You know, that was a thing. Got to think about too.
I remember learning about that in high school mm-hmm. from a friend, and not from school, from a friend.
Yeah,
he explained the whole thing. It's like, oh yeah, they just came through.
Yeah,
no, it wasn't just coming through. It was a thing.
Yep. Then you have African Twitter. Then you had Caribbean Twitter. It was sort of like, remember the cartoon Captain Planet? And you had different races of kids that like represented like, oh, this represents love, and this represents like harmony
fire,
or whatever.
Wind.
Yeah, exactly. Earth. Avatar stuff. Exactly. That's what it felt like that day. It felt like all of the forces were just coming together as one to just lay in on the monarch. And Princess Diana fans too. That was nice.
See, you almost forgot that. The Princess Diana fans.
Yeah.
That's like every Caribbean culture.
Yeah.
You just got the swag.
People love Princess Diana.
Yeah. I asked my mom about that recently.
Right. Like, because we weren't alive then,
like,
really.
Yeah, of course. She was great. She was awesome. Like, well, like, why? I wasn't alive for that. That's why
we weren't alive.
I'm not dissing it. I'm not dissing it. I'm just
exactly.
Very curious.
Did she explain why Princess Diana was so loved?
Just beloved. That's just the way it is.
Huh.
Because we could talk about Michael Jackson being the world.
Right.
And it's still hard to comprehend.
That's true. I did.
Because we just can't see that being possible to any other artist.
I did remember seeing Michael talking about his relationship with Princess Diana. Like, I remember that. But I don't know why she was loved the way that she was. Of course, I see clips of her talking about how, you know, the way she does things is something that the establishment don't like the way that she goes about handling things. And then Prince Charles, which is King Charles, my bad, King Charles III, which is Queen Elizabeth's son, who's like 70 years old, which was the former husband of Princess Diana. Apparently, he treated her like crap. And also...
cheated on her as well.
Cheated on her. The man's a known pedophile. I'm not even going to say allegedly. He can suck his mother on that one.
People were being arrested for saying stuff about the king. He's the king now.
Yeah, he the king now.
So people were getting arrested.
Wait, what?
Yeah, yeah. People, like, I think when they took the queen's body through the streets and people were saying stuff, that's when the guards were arresting them.
What, so did they get arrested for verbal assault? Like, how does that work? Disrespecting the monarch? What would they call
it? Disturbing the peace. Disturbing the peace.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I looked into it. It's like, what could you get arrested for? Because there shouldn't be anything against the monarch. But it was, like, disturbing the peace.
Mm. I had some friends that... I have some friends that live in London. And I asked them, I was like, yo, do y'all get, like, school off and, like, work off? And apparently, you know, during the funeral, people had work off, school off. It was like one of those days where they... You know, the country got to mourning and Ireland got to drinking.
Ironically, the company I work for is a British company.
Oh. So
one of one of the stores in, like, Britain or whatever, they actually were closed for a couple of days.
Oh, wow.
So even during the funeral procession where people went to go see the casket, I think. I don't think it was like an open casket.
Right? Nah, just, they won't do that.
That'll be creepy as
well. That'll be wild, yeah.
That'll be insane. I've seen open casket. It's heartful. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just so weird to me.
I remember they had Pope John Paul II's casket open. I remember.
I think that was a glass casket, right?
It was. I don't know why I remember that, because that was like mid-2000s, but I remember it.
Pope John Paul II. Yeah. I don't know. Popes are weird, too.
Yeah.
Actually, popes nowadays, they're very political in terms of, like, they're all scientists. I think this pope has, like, a doctorate or a master's in...
Oh, yeah, the Spanish pope, right?
Yeah.
He's from Spain. He's cool.
Very interesting. The closer you are to the pope, the more, like, science degrees you have. I'm like, what's going on here? Why are these... Pope people have science degrees.
You know what?
They got the books. Maybe they got the books.
I think they want to understand the world and like how the universe actually works. So I think that's one of the reasons why. But I guess they still hold on to their faith. But because I have a lot of family that, you know, that are Christian and like they own churches and stuff. But like they have like doctorates and stuff, like they're doctors and dentists and...
Well, you have to be if you want to be a preacher, just like you could be a doctoring of the preacher for that.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. Shout out to y'all. It kind of, I don't know. Anyways, going back to the queen, it's over.
It's over.
It's a saga that I'm not mentally connected to whatsoever.
Same. Us in America, we didn't give a damn.
I thought she was alive for a very long time. It's like, this is interesting. I wonder what's going to happen. I saw the succession timeline, and it's like, I'm kind of watching that right now with the House of the Dragons. So,
oh really?
Is this the whole succession timeline? It's going to be pretty interesting. Like, who's up next? That's kind of the whole premise of the show. So,
old school monarchy. Yeah, I hear it.
Yeah, yeah. So sons, nephews, uncles. That's just the way it works.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I will not remember.
Oh yeah, we don't give a damn.
When the queen died.
Yeah. The only reason why I remember is because of Irish Twitter, honestly. That's it. Just Irish Twitter, just giving no fucks whatsoever. And for that reason alone, I have to revisit Ireland because it's a really beautiful place to go to. And because Bastion, you're now a Game of Thrones fan, they shot a lot of stuff from Game of Thrones in Ireland, so it's basically, if you love the color green and you love hills, go to Ireland. And of course, if you love drinking, go hang out with the Irish hoodlums.
All right, so that's the end of today's episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. please, if you want to check out to our older episodes, we do have a podcast, Black Seinfeld. We're pretty much on every type of platform. So Apple Podcasts, Castbox, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Just type in Black Seinfeld and you'll be able to see our previous episodes. We do have a fun, interesting website. Go on blackseinfeld.com and you'll be able to see our older episodes and our even our YouTube videos. Please subscribe to our YouTube videos as well. You know, we're trying to bring those numbers up, trying to get like, you know, trying to hit 1,000.
Yes, please. We want a comma.
You know, we want a comma. We're trying to be part of the one comma club.
That's right.
So subscribe to our YouTube channel and please follow us on our social media, which is Instagram and Twitter at BlackSeinfeldNY. And if you have any questions, please reach out, especially for, you know, the people that are from Dallas and you got a lot of things to tell us about John F. Kennedy. Go ahead, shoot us an email at BlackSeinfeldNY@gmail.com. Gia's going to play the last song as we go out, but we will be back next week.
Yes, we will. Take care, everyone. It's great to be back. We'll see you guys in the last week of September. Damn. Cool. Peace.
Peace.
Last night, just We at war. We at war with terrorism, racism, but most of all, we at war with ourselves.
Yo, what's up, y'all? This is Kanye West, and whenever I need positive, progressive radio, which is so few and far between, I listen to WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM, holla.
I just want young America to do me one favor. Just one.